All right, Alexander, let's talk about some election developments in Europe. We had elections in France. We had an election in Germany. And we also had this judicial referendum that took place in Italy, for which Meloni lost. Which election do you want to start out with?
Well, I think we should start with the local elections in France, regional elections in France. Now, I mean, I used to know France very well, and I used to know about the politics in France. And there has always been in France a significant division between the way politics are conducted at the national level and way politics is conducted at the regional level. So if you're talking about what happens in the regions, the departments, as they're called in France, and is the cities. Incumbency in France is a very, very powerful factor. So if you have a town where you have a socialist mayor, more likely than not, in any regional election, unless there is an absolute overwhelming tidal wave, that mayor is going to be re-elected. And politicians at regional levels also tend to be very distinct, despite whatever label they carry, from elections at the center, at the national level. So I think this is a point people need to be aware of, because there's been a fair amount of talk about how the socialists held on in some places, like Marseille, for example, which, by the way, historically, once upon a time, was a rock solid left wing city. It hasn't been that for a fair amount of time now. But anyway, the socialists held on in Marseille, and Edouard Philippe of the Republicans held on in Le Havre. Well, as I said, incumbency works very much to the advantage of whoever's standing there, as it did in Paris, where the socialist was also re-elected. If you look below the surface, what you see is the continued collapse of Macron's party, which is clearly fading out, and a continued advance by Jean-Luc Mélenchon's left and Marine Le Pen's right. I mean, that is the underlying continuing story of these local elections. In recent months, there's been an attempt to try to turn on Mélenchon, who, by the way, is somebody who you can make say all sorts of things, all sorts of very critical things about. You can say that about anybody in France, but especially Mélenchon. Mélenchon has a complicated backstory and, shall we say, unorthodox views. But anyway, there's been a big attempt to push back strongly against him. And there were some hopes, expectations that his left-wing grouping would implode. It didn't. It not only stood its ground, it seems in several places to have continued its advance. And across France, National Rally, Le Pen's party continues its advance too. What it points to is another presidential election next year, in which you're going to have a strong right-wing candidate, more probably Joseph Bardella, Marine Le Pen's number two, rather than Marine Le Pen herself. And you're going to have Mélenchon. And the center, which is weakening and shrinking, is going to try to consolidate around Edouard Philippe, who is at the center right. And we're going to see every conceivable manipulation and device used to try to get him through. And it might succeed, but it's proving it's going to be much more difficult than it was in the two elections, presidential elections, that Macron won. So we see the left and the right still strong, not just still strong, still gaining strength, the center still shrinking, despite the attempts by the center to play the left and the right off against each other and to weaken them. So that's the story in France. An ungovernable country. I mean, Macron no longer makes any real attempt to govern France. He's entirely focused, as far as I can see, on foreign policy. If Edouard Philippe becomes president, he's a more, I should say, conventional figure than Macron. He might gain some traction for a short time. But the days when the center can govern France are ending. The days when the center can prevent anyone else, be they the right or the left, from governing France, unfortunately, or some may say fortunately, but they're still with us. We might still have an inconclusive, already, let's just say an inconclusive, another election next year that fails to resolve France's ever deepening political crisis.
There's no side that's in a better position to take over for say the Macron center, if you want to call it that. Neither Le Pen or the left or Mélenchon. Well, you don't see any one of them in a better position going forward, or
unless there is some major breakout. And by the way, if that does happen, it's more likely, I think, to be the right than the left. Le Pen and Bardella are breaking through, but my sense is that the legal case against Le Pen has actually weakened the right more than they want to admit. And without Le Pen acting as the focus, the leader, and the person who's going to run in the election, they may have lost some focus. Even though, as I said, they're still continuing to gain ground. As for Mélenchon, I think it's going to be a very, very tough call to get people in France to vote for Mélenchon. I've said this many times. France is a fundamentally conservative country with an enormous left. But the country overall remains basically conservative. Getting enough people to vote for somebody as radical and outspoken and, well, as unorthodox as Mélenchon is going to be extremely difficult. At least that was the case in the France I used to know. So what Mélenchon is doing, and I've said this many times, is in contrary to what many think, he is a force that is preserving the status quo because he is enabling this, as a shrinking center, to argue that there is no real convincing alternative to itself. So it wins by default and by manipulation, but there's no conviction or energy behind it. And as we've seen over the last 5 years, with Macron, 4 years with Macron, well, longer than that with Macron. I mean, these people can't really govern France and they can't address its underlying problems. We have administration in place of government. We have a slow, steady movement towards what is going to be a major structural crisis.
Okay, Germany?
Germany. Yeah. Now here is more interesting.
Since you're talking about structural crises.
Yes. here it is more interesting. Now, we've had a local election in Rheinland-Pfalz. Now, Rheinland-Pfalz is the part of Germany, I should say, that I know best. I've had long, long connections and engagement with this region. This goes well before the time when I got to know my wife, whose German family actually is there. I mean, it's a chance that they are from there. But I've known Rheinland-Pfalz very well for a very, very long time. And by the way, just to say, for those who are interested, it's where the most famous Rhine regions in Germany are located, the Rhineland and all of that. So anyway, since the 90s, this has been a rock-solid SPD, social democratic area. It's not always been that. There have been long periods where the CDU has been the dominant party for a long period during the 70s and 80s. None other than Helmut Kohl was the minister president of Rheinland-Pfalz. So there are right wing CDU leaning areas, and there are left wing SPD leaning areas, but the dominant party in recent decades, since the 90s, has been the SPD, since, in fact, 1991. And this was, if you like, another part of the heartland of the former West Germany, with the alternation between CDU and SPD, but each governing for very, very long periods. The story in Rheinland-Pfalz, another complete collapse of the SPD. The SPD is now in this area where it was so strong, is imploding. And a doubling in the vote for the AfD, which is increasingly becoming the party of opposition. It's come from nowhere, and it polled 18%, which, if again, you know Rheinland-Pfalz, you would know how incredibly extraordinary that is. So because the SPD has collapsed, the CDU, with around 30% of the vote, low by its historic levels in this state, by the way, is now the biggest party and will probably form the government, the local government. It will do so with the SPD because there is no alternative. The CDU is very afraid of the AfD. But the story across Germany now is of a seemingly irresistible march by the AfD. And I'm going to say something else. Apparently, this election is creating an internal crisis within the SPD. There is again talk of, there are already demands that the SPD ministers in the government, Merz's government, should step down. This is coming from within the SPD. There is increasing talk that, apparently within the SPD, that staying in coalition with Merz for the SPD is a disaster, just as staying in coalition with Merkel was a disaster, that the SPD needs to distance itself from Merz and pull out of the coalition. These words are now being said for the first time, if it is to survive at all. If that happens, Merz loses his majority in the Bundestag and there will have to be elections. So we are perhaps closer to a political electoral breakthrough in Germany than appeared to be the case even a few months ago. I used to think that the big breakthrough in European politics was going to happen in France. It's starting to seem it's more likely, if it's going to happen anywhere, that it's going to be in Germany, because the AfD has shown again in this election that it is able to expand its electorate into Western Germany, places which would never have voted for it once, where you would not have expected to see people voting for it. And that is causing growing strains within the coalition, the current coalition. And it's starting to be something that people are talking about, that the coalition will collapse.
Which is why you have these reports about AfD and leaks to Russia and all of these creeping up again, all of these reports from the EU creeping up again. Yeah,
of course.
They're starting to get worried about AfD.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. Because to say it clearly, I mean, you know, if the coalition collapses and we have elections, I think that any SPD person who thinks that's going to improve the position of the SPD is completely wrong. I think we're going to see the SPD vote collapse, which is, by the way, why I don't think there's going to be elections soon. I think the SPD will hold on to the coalition. The old guard, the old leadership, who worked before with Merkel and who backed Olaf Scholz and who now back the coalition with Merz, they have been almost constantly in government now for decades, which is, I mean, completely eviscerated the personality of this party. But I mean, they're not going to give that up. They want the ministerial positions for as long as they can. They want the positions in Berlin, which obviously come with all kinds of material benefits, which we can skip. But I can't imagine these people who are, I think, sufficiently in control of the SPD agreeing to a pullout from the coalition. But the demands to do that are growing. To the extent that the SPD still has grassroots, they are becoming stronger. It may be that, as I said, the tensions will increase to the level that does eventually happen. Anyway, you're absolutely correct. The AfD, because it is able to increase its reach in the way that it is doing, expand into Western Germany, is coming up for the usual rhetoric that it's all, you know, involved in Russia, it's the stooges of Putin, all of that nonsense. We're probably going to see a lot more of that over the next few weeks and months, and for all I know, years.
Okay, Meloni, Italy. She looks vulnerable. She lost her referendum, this judicial referendum.
Yes.
And she may not be as powerful as many people thought she was.
Yes, I think that Meloni has deceived many people. I think, first of all, she deceived a lot of people into thinking that she was more radical as the leader of what was supposed to be Italy's far right than she actually was. So she became prime minister. She was for a long time popular. I mean, there were many things that she was doing that, you know, people liked her. I mean, she was, you know, different. And she was somebody who was well grounded in family and all of those things. So she had a lot of goodwill behind her, and she was able to capitalize on it. And also, she had the advantage that she took over as prime minister at a time when both the left was profoundly discredited in Italy, and the economy was going through a kind of minor upswing. So for a time, things looked more stable in Italy, and her overall position appeared to be more stable and stronger than it actually was. In fact, she proved to be a prime minister of the status quo. Her politics differed internally, in my opinion, very little from those of previous Italian governments. She became the government, the coalition itself, started to fracture, and she became gradually, you could sense over the last 6 months, year or so, that her support base was slipping. So what did she do? There's this judicial reform. The opposition pushes for this referendum. The referendum happens. Meloni loses. And I can't help but think that this is going to be the moment when, as I said, political mortality strikes her. And we're going to see her position start to fall away. Now, she has within the coalition, again, the man who I think is the real leader of the Italian right, and I still believe this. I think Matteo Salvini is ultimately a much more interesting politician than Meloni is. And the two have never really got on. There's always been tension. And I would not be surprised if, seeing Meloni weaken, Salvini now starts to become more outspoken again. And if we start to see Salvini rise as Meloni dims. So overall, if you look at this all together, if you look at all of these elections that we are seeing in France and Germany, we're continuing to see a swing towards the right. In Italy, you could talk about perhaps a success for the left, but I still don't get the sense that the left are anywhere close to breaking through. But always, everywhere, support for the establishment continues to decline. And in Germany, there is no more establishment party than the SPD. just to say.
Yeah, and if Salvini does rise, we're going to also see the Russia stuff from the EU against Salvini as well. That's their go-to is Russia.
He's probably the he'll probably be the most aggressive in pushing back against it. And he's probably the person who's going to say, look, I'm fine with the Russians. You've got problems with the Russians, I don't. And Italy is different from Germany, and perhaps even to some extent France, in that the sort of pitch that Salvini's going to make, it's going to actually have some traction. If you go to Italy, there isn't the same hostility to Russia in Italy that you find in all sorts of other places. So it might not work against Salvini in the way that it, say, causes problems in Germany for the AfD.
Yeah, very true. All right, we will end the video there, theduran.locals.com. We're on X, Rumble, and Telegram. We're also on Substack. So check us out there and go to the Duran Shop, pick up some merch. Link is in the description box down below. Take care.